Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining me on Manifest. Please watch all of this program. It is going to be filled with some pretty incredible insight, some information both in the Bible and also from what we call secular religious sources. So the question, it's not so much a question, it's a statement that I want to make. More will be taken. Now, what am I talking about? More will be taken. Whom am I talking about when I say more will be taken? There is a very strange sign that I have traced at times throughout biblical history that begins to occur during major prophetic seasons. Now listen to me carefully. When there is a huge transition coming, when there is a major prophetic setup beginning in the earth, whether it's a stepping stone or a milestone, it's not necessarily a prophecy fulfillment, but it is something that's about to happen that leads into a global event or a major event, or it leads into the fulfillment of something major that God has spoken, this will happen. More will be taken. Now, I have a chart, and they're going to bring this up on the screen, of the flood of Noah, the first 10 generations in Scripture, and all of this is in Genesis chapter 5 and one verse is in chapter 9, of the first 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and read this, even though it's on the screen. Adam lived 930 years, and I'm not going to read the reference. You'll see it there. Seth lived 912 years. Enos lived 905 years. Canaan lived 910 years. Mahalalel lived 895 years. Jared lived 962 years. Enoch lived 365 years. Of course, he was translated alive to heaven. Methuselah lived 969 years. That's the oldest. That he lived longer than any man in history. Lamech lived 777 years, and Noah lived a total of 950 years. So, if we start with Adam, who was the first man, biblical created man, I say biblical created, God created man, from Adam to Noah is a period, as I mentioned a moment ago, of 10 generations. If we take all of those years that are alluded to of how long they lived, and we do an average lifespan, the average lifespan of the first 10 generations is 857.5 years. That's a long time. You can learn a lot in 857 years. I guess the thing that always fascinated me about the length of time that these people lived from the time of Adam to the flood is, you know, we get to be wrinkly looking, or we have wrinkles on our body, our skin, and our face that starts appearing at about, you know, some people in their 40s, some 50s, some 60s, some 70s. And I get up and look in the mirror every day. When I smile, I realize I'm getting my age wrinkles, like all of us do at a certain age. But I thought, what do these people look like at 857.5 years? I told somebody one time, you ever seen a prune? You know, I wonder if their face actually looked like that, because, I mean, if they started having those physical wrinkles that we do in our 70s and 80s or whatever age it might be, what did you look like when you were 857? Or were things different then? So when they get into their older age, they looked young. I can prove that that was true, that when some people, look at Sarah, she is 90 years of age, all right? And Isaac is born, but here's another point. When she was in her 80s, there were kings, Pharaoh and the king of Gaza, that wanted to take her as a wife. Someone told me one of the Dead Sea Scrolls alludes to Sarah, and I'm sidetracked here on a rabbit trail for a minute. Talked about how beautiful she was as an older woman. So maybe people did not age the way they do now. So I don't want to get sidetracked, but let me just share this with you. Now, if we go from Noah's death, which is at 950 years of age, to the time of Abraham, Shem, who was Noah's son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, three sons, Shem, who was Noah's son, died at 500. But Abraham's father, generations later, died at 205. Abraham died at age 175. Now, are you noticing something's happening here? The age is beginning to be reduced. So the average age from Adam to Noah is over 800 years. that a person lives, that's average, a little over 800 years, but now they're starting to die at 200, under 200, over 100. Moses, by the time you get to Moses, he passes away at 120 years of age. Joshua passes away at 110 years of age. And then a statement is made in Psalms chapter 19, verse 10, that man's days will be 70 and by reason of strength, 80. So we see this huge reduction. And if we want to know why that God allowed, after the flood, man's days to be reduced, it has Psalms chapter 55, verse 23. It has to do with man's wickedness. Let me read this verse. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half of their days. But I will trust in, lean on, and confidently rely on you. Now, it says here, evil men will not live out half their days. So God cuts short the life of wicked people. All right? And so let's just take for a moment an example of what if the Lord would allow people to live 120 to 200 years of age. What if Hitler had not shot himself in the bunker and committed suicide? What if Hitler would have been able to live to be 100 to 150 years of age? What if he would still be living? Imagine the weapons. Well, actually the destruction that would be all over Europe and probably all over the world. All right, so I want you to keep what I just said in mind, okay, about that time frame of man's age being reduced. Now, there is information that's been handed down about Noah's day and other people's time frame of history that is not inspired, but it is considered by some to be historical information. One is the Jewish historian Josephus, of whom I do quote from time to time. There's also what I call non-biblical, and when I say non-biblical, it's not in the Bible itself, sacred history written by historians. For example, the early church fathers were writers of church history. There's oral traditions that have also been handed down among the Jewish people and handed down in certain books, or what we call oral traditions that were later written down. One of those is the book of Jasher or Jasher. It's mentioned in Joshua 10, 13, and 2 Samuel 1, 8. And I've said that before, and I've heard people say, what are those verses? Well, you can pick up a Bible and read it, but let me just read it to you. The sun stood still, the moon stayed, and the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And that verse is Joshua 10, 13, mentioning the book of Jasher. Here's another verse. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, 2 Samuel 1, 17, 18. Now, the book of Jasher was written and known with biblical history in the time of Joshua and also in the time of 2 Samuel when those books were written. All right? Now, I want to go to a translation of the book of Jasher that was found in 1840, translated by the British. It was put in book form and translated in the English language. But let me just tell you a little bit about a righteous generation that died before the flood. Here it is. And all who followed the Lord died in those days before they saw the evil which God declared to do upon the earth, Jasher 5 and 5. Jasher 5 and 6 says this. All the men that followed the Lord died except Methuselah. This is talking about the time before the flood in Jasher chapter 5, verse 6. So what happened is this, and pay careful attention. Now, I may bring this out in a minute, that at the time of the flood, you had a generation of Adam all the way to Noah, which is called the 10 righteous men of the generations before the flood. However, everybody died except one man, Methuselah, and he died the 7 days before the flood came. So Methuselah was the last of the antediluvian people to die. Now, keep that in mind, and we're going to go to something else. When the 12 sons of Jacob, and you know, these are the sons that directed or formed the 12 tribes of Israel, When they all died, the wicked Pharaoh arose in Egypt. And again, I'm going to quote, I've written this down. Zebulun, now these are the sons of Jacob I'm going to list. Zebulun died in the 72nd year of Israel coming into Egypt. Simeon died in the 75th year of Israel coming into Egypt. Reuben died in the 79th year of Israel coming into Egypt. Dan died in the 80th year of Israel coming into Egypt. Issachar died the 81st year of Israel coming into Egypt. Asher died the 82nd year of Israel coming into Egypt. Gad died the 83rd year of Israel coming to Egypt. And according to this book, the book of Jasher, Levi died at the 93rd year of Israel coming into Egypt. Now, a lot of this would have been handed down in Jewish oral tradition, in Jewish history, and of course later written down. And that's where this would be coming from. When Levi, the father of the tribe of Levi, the father of the priesthood, when he died, the Egyptians put the children of Israel in affliction and in labor, Jasher 63 and 2. Now here's another verse. And Joseph died and all of his brethren and all that generation, and all the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and waxed exceedingly great and mighty. And anywhere it says this in Exodus, there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So in other words, when all of the 12 tribes died, then we find out that that's when the king arose that knew not Joseph and began to persecute the Jewish people. Let's give you another example. The 12 tribes of Israel, when they settled the promised land, it said the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And then there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord nor the works that he did in Israel. Now notice this, after the death of the righteous, after a righteous lineage dies, generations of righteous people pass, then there is a transition into evil taking over, or an evil person arising. And sometimes they are a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And I'm speaking here of the evil person that would arise. The 12 disciples of Jesus, called the 12 apostles, were personally chosen by him. We eliminate Judas, who hung himself prior to the crucifixion. And we do know that in Acts, in the book of Acts chapter 1, that the apostles met together and they appointed a 12th apostle to replace Judas. By 69 AD, most of the original 12 apostles had been martyred. James actually dies in 44 AD, according to Acts 12, 1 and 2. It is believed by most that by the time of the destruction of the temple, that all of the apostles had died with the exception of two. And by 72 AD, all of the original 12 apostles had passed away except one. Now, we know this, that John the apostle was the oldest living apostle of the original 12. And we know that God took him to the Isle of Patmos where he penned the book of Revelation. And he died somewhere around, let's say, 99 to 100 AD. When John died is when persecution really started breaking out. Now, it broke out before John's death through Nero. Nero beheaded Paul and Peter in Rome. But the nine other emperors that arose after John the Apostle's death, you know, first, second, third, and right into the fourth century. Now, you say, okay, Perry, let's go back to the subject. What are you talking about? More will be taken. Listen to me very carefully. The godly people that made America great, that made the church great, the praying people, the intercessors, the great preachers, the pastors, are beginning to pass away. For example, all the men that helped me get started in the ministry, those that are still living, are now in their 70s. Many of the men that pastored the churches that ran 50 to 100 people in the state of Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland have now gone to be with the Lord. And these were great men of God. I'm telling you, these were prayer warriors, great men of God. My mentor, T.L. Lowry, is in heaven. My father, Fred Stone, is in heaven. John Bavin, my grandfather, is in heaven. So the godly are passing away. Now, what happens is they pass away in cycles. You know, one of my relatives, we were talking recently, and they said, you know, so-and-so passed away. And then, you know, a week later, someone else passed away. And then somebody else passed away, and there were three. And I said, you know, it usually comes in cycles of three where people you know go to be with the Lord. Now, remember this. There's two reasons that they're being taken away, in my opinion. Number one is the Bible tells you to prevent them from seeing the evil coming on the earth. I've often wondered if my grandfather, John Bava, and my father, Fred Stone, who were very great men of God, if they were living today and they could see the condition of the United States, it would grieve them to the point that I don't know what they would do. They would be grieved by what they see. And I'm going to bring a verse that I taught on Manifest before. The righteous perishes and no man lays it to heart. Merciful men are taken away. None consider that the righteous is taken away from the evil that is to come. All right. So there is an evil that's coming on the earth. And so God takes the righteous away to prevent them from seeing the evil from coming. Now, let me explain to you why godly and righteous people and prayer intercessors are so important, not only in the United States of America, but they're so important to the body of Christ in general. Prayer is a restraining power. Preaching the scriptures with the anointing is a restraining power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about that the man of sin can only be revealed when the restrainer is removed. The man of sin, of course, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is the Antichrist himself. So here's what I want to share with you. There is a generation that is going to see what has been predicted in the prophecies. There is a generation that's going to actually be alive when the prophecies are coming to pass, which they are now. Now, I'm going to go back to the days of Noah. In the time of the days of Noah, one man who lived to be 969 years of age, who lived longer than any man has ever lived in human history, was there up to the time the flood was about to come. And he died, and God said, "Yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth." And those 7 days were the 7 days, I call it the 7 days of grace. And that was the time that Noah buried his great-grandfather Methuselah. The name Methuselah is interesting. The Hebrew word met in Hebrew means a male that is capable of combat, but it's linked to a word mut, which means to die or a corpse or something of that nature. So we look at the word Methuselah. Selah in Hebrew means to send or to send out or to let go. And it also can come out of a word that means a weapon, like a javelin, like throwing a javelin from your hand, releasing a javelin and sending it out. So his name can translate, according to scholars, his death will send it. His corpse will bring it about. So Methuselah was a man that had a mission from God, and his mission was to live long enough until the time that the ark would be completed, until the time that the flood was about ready to take place. And so when he died, God was going to send it. When God saw his corpse, God said, "Now it is time for the water to come." And in a traditional Jewish mourning period is 7 days. So that's why God said, "Yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth." So Methuselah was a sign of what was about to come. His death, by the way, is associated with water. So Methuselah was a sign of the birth pains that would lead to the end of the world. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is because that when you begin to look at what's taking place, you have to understand that what's taking place and what's happening right now is you're going to see more people taken. There's going to be a lot of people going home to be with the Lord. There's going to be a lot of great people. We're going to grieve over some people that's going to be going to heaven. And it will happen. You'll hear of one time, and some of these ministers, as a matter of fact, when I first started preaching prophecy, I counted somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 prophecy ministers. I'm not going to name them all because I don't have time. I'm running out of time. That in 1991 at the International Prophecy Conference were involved with sharing with the people prophecy. I can now count on this hand how many men are right now living who totally are prophetic preachers or emphasize Bible prophecy, and I would be in that list of one of them. All those men are going to be with the Lord. But I want to say something to you. Who's going to take their place? Who's going to take the place when all the prophecy preachers have gone to heaven? Who will be left that will still preach prophecy? Who will be raised up to preach the sound teaching of the Word of God? when all the men have gone to be with the Lord, and I'm talking about through death, not necessarily through the rapture, but if we die before the Lord comes, who's going to carry the mantle? Who's going to pick it up? We have got to raise up a generation of young people. That's why we have Warrior Fest. That's why Karen Wheaton has the ramp. That's why these other ministries have youth events, because we want to see a generation raised up in these last days to fulfill Joel 2, where sons and daughters will prophesy and they will experience the visions of the end time that God wants to give them. So I'm asking you, as more are taken away, it'll bring great sorrow to our heart. But who is going to carry the mantle? Who will pick up the torch until the Lord returns? That's what we have to ask. That's what we have to be concerned about. So we need to focus on raising up a generation to know God. Not everybody's going to believe. Not everybody's going to accept you. And I know that. And a great apostasy is there. But we have got to stay faithful to God, love each other, and pray for one another. Wish I had more time to preach, but my time is up. A new offer is right now on Manifest. You've got to watch this. Stay tuned. I have an announcement coming up.
Humanity's final battle is being set in array, merging men with super advanced technology, commonly known as artificial intelligence or AI. This new and at times frightening technology is said to be the greatest advancement of man's imagination since the beginning of humanity. But it comes with warnings from experts and developers. While AI can be used to deter crime, track criminals, and search for information at breathtaking speed, AI could eventually take over 80% of human jobs, replacing them with computers and robots. With AI, nothing about your private life, your finances, job, or family will be hidden. In the future, a male or female humanoid robot can become a walking, talking, live-in companion. Wealthy men are hoping AI will create the possibility of eternal life. According to experts, there are great dangers ahead. Uncontrolled AI systems could eventually destroy humanity. AI could also become a scammer's dream, using fake pictures, videos, voices, and accounts to blackmail innocent victims or transfer funds. In Perry Stone's explosive new prophecy book, Artificial Intelligence Versus God, he reveals what others who have written about AI have missed, including five ways in which AI will be brought to utter uselessness in the future, as God, the creator of mankind, will have the final say as to when nature itself will release unrestrained destruction that will silence both man's modern technology and the electronic systems required for AI to function. Perry's new book presents stunning quotes, biblical word studies, and ancient history to document all the book's eye-opening information. He explains how an ancient clash in Eden and a massive tower in the plains of Shinar conceal huge historical parallels, repeating themselves during AI development. Perry explores whether the economic mystery Babylon mentioned in Revelation 18 could be the new AI city being planned in Arabia. Is China cryptically alluded to in Revelation 12 by the symbol of the great red dragon? Will men and women marry companion robots in the future? Could the image of the beast in Revelation 13 be an advanced AI creation built to introduce a new religion and to be worshipped as a god? Perry exposes the goal of transhumanism and will shock readers by revealing positive proof of five ways God will allow mankind's most advanced technologies to fail in the future. Perry's new book, Artificial Intelligence Versus God, is now available through Perry Stone Ministries. The offer number is BK-036, and you can request your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Order one of three ways: by calling toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or online at perrystone.org. You may also send your donation of $25 or more to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer number BK-036. This new landmark book is only available through Perry Stone Ministries. Get your copy today so you and your family are prepared for the future of AI technology. We look forward to hearing from you today.
Thank you for joining me today on the Manifest Telecast. And I want to remind you, we're coming toward the conclusion of you being able on the telecast to get the book, God, AI, Artificial Intelligence Versus God. And if you didn't get your copy, today is the day for you to either go to the phone to 800 number or contact us or go to perrystone.org and get your copy. We're going to be coming into a brand new series with brand new offers, probably next week or sometime in the very near future. So let me just mention to you and how grateful I am for you to stand with us in the Manifest Telecast. Our program goes around the world in various nations, and it goes all throughout the United States. And our airtime is not free. Our airtime cost us a lot of money. In fact, it costs millions of dollars to keep Manifest on the air. And if you want Manifest to stay on the air in your city and in your area, may we suggest to you this month to send a very special donation in. I call it the Spring Festival's offering. And just send something in to say, Perry, we love the program. We want you to continue on the air in our area. We would certainly appreciate that. Now, you never hear me ask at all, ever. You know that. Because we're a product-oriented ministry. Through our products, we're able to do a lot for the Lord. But we ask you to do that if at all possible at this particular time. Also, don't forget that the Omega Center International has a Tuesday night service starting at 6:30 every Tuesday night here in Cleveland, Tennessee. Omega Center International is directed by Pastor Brian Cutshaw, one of the greatest pastors, one of the greatest revelators of God's Word in the entire United States. And our people love him. He's a dear friend of mine. And we'd love to have you join us on Tuesdays in prayer, live prayer, beginning at 6 o'clock East Coast time every Thursday night on the internet. Now, instead of me going through a long list of where we're going to be, let me just remind you that I'm coming to the Morris Sorella Feast of Pentecost celebration in San Diego, California, May 16th and May 17th. So I hope that you, if you live in the area, make your plan to get to the Legacy Center in San Diego where you will hear me minister. And I was so busy last time, we had to come in, we had to fly out. I'm hoping to get to meet some folks this time and maybe sign some books at the table. That's what I'm hoping to do. So I hope you'll be able to join us there. Go to perrystone.org for our itinerary. Go to Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page to keep up with us on Facebook. And partners, thank you for your support. And be sure and keep up with us monthly through our updates and through our emails. Thank you, and God bless each of you.
Perry Stone invites you to the most anticipated weekend in biblical prophecy. Join us April 25th through 28th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee for the 2024 International Prophetic Summit. Come hear the latest prophetic insights from Perry Stone, Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, and Billy Crone. Go to perrystone.org to sign up now. Don't miss the biggest prophetic event of the year, the 2024 Prophetic Summit. Register now.